Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. And Evan, let's talk Jacksonville Jaguars following the Jags' latest narrow, disappointing, pick an adjective for the latest defeat. It's evergreen at this point, it seems like, when we talk about these games. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jags and Philly from Sunday up there in the city of no brotherly love. We're going to talk trade deadline a little bit, because Jags really weren't a strong participant, at least in the closing days and hours of that situation. And of course, we'll talk some Trevor Lawrence, because it's become clear to us in the last couple of days, got beat up a little bit up there in Philly, Evan. So intriguing, at least with the Vikings coming to Duval, in terms of who we might see behind center and really some other positions as well.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that Trevor's been injured. I did not realize the severity of that after that game. But then, yeah, on Monday and Tuesday, there was definitely a lot of info. Trevor's spoken on it, saying that he's trying to work out the soreness over the course of the week. Obviously, the Jaguars bring back one of our favorite players in franchise history, C.J. Beathard. He's back. Hopefully, we don't have to see him.
The gunslinger.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't have to see him, but you never know. So if we're going to go to anybody, I don't mind that. I'm curious, you know, he was only down in Miami. You know, what did he even change his living situation, or what does that look like? I'm curious. It's not great. You know, that's five losses this year that are decided by one score or less. You know, it's a lot of what could have been. It continues. You know, you think about, maybe, you know, it's a little bit of an avalanche. You know, we've talked about it before, that if you don't blow that Miami game, maybe, you know, the vibe around this team, the confidence, the belief kind of changes. And instead, you know, you're at a point where you're 2-7, and knowing that, you know, even if you flip three or four of those games, you're in the division race, you're in the playoff race. And instead, we're kind of already looking towards next year. It was tough. You know, I do appreciate that the Jags fought in that Philly game, though. I will say that, you know, that Trayvon Walker touchdown definitely brought some life, and the offense kind of found it in that second half. But it's kind of the story we've seen all year, where they start games so poorly.
Offensively, it's just been stinker after stinker, man.
It's insane. I mean, I don't, you know, really, that's the idea, right? Is that your 15 play script is supposed to be where you get what you want early. Yeah. And instead it seems like the Jaguars never do.
No, that opening script for the Jags has kind of been like Caddyshack 2, right?
Yeah.
Not the original Caddyshack
Godfather
script.
Godfather 3.
The sequel. Yeah. Godfather 3 script, in terms of the opening. For the Jaguars offense, it's been a problem. There's no doubt about it. I agree. Give the Jags a lot of credit. It seems like when they get down, that juice, that sense of urgency, energy, whatever you want to call it, finally shows up. Now, look, Nick Sirianni did some things from the Eagles' perspective that provided fuel to the Jags' growing fire up in Philly. Not his best game, and I think Philadelphia fans, even with the win, maybe have seen about enough from Nick Sirianni at this point. His team on the roll, though, now with what, five straight wins. But yeah, I think that the comeback was nice. I think Trevor again showed you in stretches he can be top 10-ish when it comes to NFL quarterbacks. And then we still see things from Trevor from time to time where he looks bottom 10-ish. He looks at times like you would think a fourth year starter should in this league. And then there are times where he looks like a rookie still. But all in all, I thought Trevor did a lot to keep this team in the game, had a couple of picks. Travis Etienne, again, just a catastrophic mistake on the botched reception that ends up going for a turnover. And then defensively, I thought the Jags on that side did enough, especially early in the game, to kind of keep the Jags around. But boy, just giving up a draw play on a 3rd and 17 late in the second quarter for a touchdown. Just still too many mistakes on that side of the ball. Too many things that make you wonder if the personnel fits, what the plan and the concept and the scheme is. all around, pretty much. Special teams had a catastrophic mistake with Austin Trammell early in the game. You know, we've said it. All three phases kind of play into this stuff on a week-to-week basis.
And, you know, it was one of those things with the Eagles where, I mean, we like Jalen Hurts. I think that's no surprise to anybody as a Bama guys or whatever. But, you know, how you beat that team is by forcing him to throw the football as much as he possibly can. And the area where the Jaguars have at least been mediocre is run defense. But in this game, they just got tore up. I mean, I know Saquon Barkley is a fantastic player. I mean, don't get it twisted. But I mean, they made him look as good as he's ever looked in the NFL, you know, partially because I think poor scheming and poor tackling. That third and second can't happen.
This is the NFL, man. I mean, I know you're in dime, whatever. I don't care if you got six defensive backs on the field. Somebody's got to tackle him on third and 17. That was what was the most disturbing part of that play to me was there was really never anyone in the vicinity. I get it on third and 17 that initially 5, 7, 8 yards, you know, there might be some room to work, but if you've got that many defensive backs on the field, somebody should be able to close it up and make a tackle short. And it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. And, you know, it kind of just comes off like Ryan Nielsen sold out on, well, they must be throwing the ball at the goal line. I mean, that's going to be the call, right? Yeah. And instead,
you should still make the tackle, though. Everything's in front of you. You're playing everything in front of you pretty much with that defense, and you still can't make the tackle.
It's rough. It's not good. You know, something that Tony Baselli said on the broadcast was that NFL teams this year have allowed a first down or touchdown on third and 15, 8% of the time. The Jaguars are allowing it 39% of the time. You're not just, you know, giving up third and tens. You're giving up
explosive deep, like, plays.
That should be, I mean, the drive is over.
Right.
Third and 15, and you can't get off the field.
Or a penalty. It seems like when they don't give that up, there's a defensive penalty or something that extends drives on top of that.
Yeah. If we have to note some positives, Trayvon Walker had a pretty good game. You know, he's on pace for another 10, 11 sack season. You know, I definitely get frustrated with him in certain ways, but, you know, it's hard to complain about him when you're getting double-digit sacks.
Well, he was the second-best player with the ball in his hands in that game.
Yeah. Barkley. I mean, we made that joke afterwards. We were
that
like,
return
might as well
was,
give him a touch.
That was right there with Barkley. You know, that was it for the Jags, really. But, no, I agree. I think Trayvon was good. What about Josh Hines-Allen with a couple of sacks?
Yeah.
Is it still a little bit too much boom or bust with him, in your opinion? Ventrell Miller, to me, continues to show that he needs to be a linchpin for this defense moving forward. I'd love to tell you some good things about the back end of the defense, but I'm struggling kind of with that concept once you get beyond Tyson Campbell. Rough day for Ronald Darby again.
Yeah.
I also will say this, for an offensive line that was beat up going in, I thought they played about as well as you could against that front seven for the Eagles. And still, even in the game, to lose Cooper Hodges for the remainder of the season, you got guys like Blake Hance, Cole Van Lannen jumping in there. Fortner, I think, had to jump in there as Morse was in concussion protocol. There were a lot of things that before the game you'd have said, these things absolutely cannot happen. And they did, and the Jags are still sitting there with the football deep in Philadelphia territory with a chance to win.
Yeah. No, I give credit to the offensive line, too. Losing Cooper Hodges, especially the way he's played the past 2 weeks, is really depressing. Seems like some of the guys that are coming up and, you know, showing signs of life for one reason or another, just something's happening. You know, they're being disrupted, and now we're going to have to wait and see what he can provide next year. It's frustrating. I mean, it just really stinks to know that, you know, I don't know if it's the Jags are better than they seem or if everyone else is just worse, because in a lot of ways it feels like the Jags have gotten, you know, the weak end of some of these good teams that they've been playing. Like, you know, when you play the Packers, you know, Jordan Love's injured and stuff and you can't beat them. The Eagles are making mistakes and different things and you can't beat them. The Dolphins are making mistakes. It's just weird. You know, it doesn't feel like they've played a lot of teams that were just like you know, A-plus in all phases of the ball, save for the Bills game and maybe the Bears game. But you know, it's just, it's rough. And then
a lot of people go back to the quarterback position on all this too. I mean, that's where a lot of it turns back to pretty quickly, right? Trevor Lawrence. And I'll say this for Trevor, man, in the fan base, he's got his support times 10. It feels like, even with some of the inexplicable mistakes he still makes from time to time, really on a game by game basis, there is a faction, I think a pretty large faction of the Jaguar fan base, that still feels like he's absolutely without question the guy to take this franchise into the future. And a lot of that, I wanted to ask you about this narrative too, is it's not Trevor's fault that the Jags lost. That's what I hear after every loss.
Right.
You know, this wasn't on Trevor. Okay, well, when are we going to get to the point where we talk about Trevor in terms of Trevor lifted us to the win, right? Or carried us to the win. I don't need to hear that about Trevor Lawrence in his fourth year. That, yeah, but it wasn't really his fault. I want to hear more about, hey, Trevor took this football team, put it on his shoulders, elevated everyone around him, and the Jags got the job done. Now, it nearly happened against the Eagles, against the Packers the previous week. But it needs to actually start happening for me anyway, based on what you now have invested in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think the only game you can point to in which he kind of put the team on his back, so to speak, is probably that Colts game, that Colts W. But really, outside of that, it doesn't feel like he's ticking the needle either way, negative or positive.
He's a good quarterback. He's a starting caliber. Right now, that's what he is, in my opinion. Yeah. He's a good quarterback. He's not elite. He's not great. He's good. You know, I've made the analogy with Ryan Tannehill, and I'm going to stay with it until I have reason otherwise to think something. But for me right now, he's a good quarterback.
I think fans, causes fans to think like, oh, well, Trevor can't elevate us because they're not looking at it like that because we're so bad, is you have to be one of those teams where you like kind of a Dak Prescott situation where you go to the playoffs every year, but then your quarterback only throws for, 200 yards and a touchdown. And you're like, well, if we had an elite quarterback, we would have won that game. But we're not going to get in that situation, obviously, this year and probably not next year either. I think people are just trying to clean the something a little bit, there's got to be a scapegoat. And people are so done with Doug and Press that coming into the year, it was already like that. They were always going to be the guys to blame.
I think that there's a reality too. I mean, Trevor's here. Trevor's going to be here. Coaches, assistant coaches, whatever, can be interchangeable. You know, they come and go. And look, Trevor Lawrence as a guy, I don't know anyone that doesn't want to see him do well and be that person. He's absolutely the person you want in that position. And I think as a player, he's a good player. But talk to me about the interception at the end of the game, play call, execution, sort of assignment of blame for that one. Where does it start with you based on the situation, the clock, run the football there? You fine with being aggressive, even though it involves your, I know that people have said third team running back this week, but in that situation, D'Ernest is the guy, right? Yeah. If you see third and long, or you see 2 minute for the Jaguar offense, there's a good chance D'Ernest is going to be out there. That's kind of his role, right?
Yeah. No. So my fault, I think there's fault on Trevor, Press, and Press Doug and D'Ernest. I think everyone kind of did their part to ruin
one
that
big
play.
Sub and everybody gets a bite.
Exactly. And with D'Ernest, it's not that he's out there. Obviously, that's not his responsibility. It's the fact that he kind of stops running the route. If you notice at about the 3 or 4 yard line, he's like got his, he's already turned around and he's just like backpedaling. It's not really that's not the spot he's supposed to be doing that, as far as I know. Doesn't really make a great play on the ball. I know he's a running back, whatever. So there is my issue with D'Ernest. I don't think he runs a very good route there. I think he gives up on it. I think Trevor, I know that, Doug said this and I kind of said it in a text right after it happened, but Trevor just doesn't even read the situation. He just says, that is the pass, and I am not doing anything else. And I'm just going to throw it.
Primary guy, that's where I'm going.
I'm just, and that's who Trevor is. That at the end of the day, Trevor is not a three reads kind of guy. He is a maybe get to the second, but it's his ability to place the ball that you're relying on.
Ball's got to be at the outside there. You can't miss where he missed. If you
can't miss inside, and he does. And then, I mean, I definitely don't like, I mean, when you are, I don't know, when you have an efficient offense, wheel routes like that come wide open and they're lovely and they're perfect and they're touchdowns. But they don't, just like with all the jet sweep stuff, just like all that different stuff, they didn't earn the ability to call that. And I don't know what you run instead necessarily, but shoot, I'd rather throw a back corner end zone ball to Brian Thomas.
You've got plenty of time. Keep working the middle of the field. You've just had some success with that too.
Yeah.
I was run the ball guy before the snap, and it wasn't because I was trying to take clock down and leave Philly with nothing. It didn't have anything to do with that. To me, it was you had been so pass heavy that the possibility of a run popping
getting a big chunk
in that situation was there, because you kind of had, if I was a pitcher in baseball at that point, based on the previous plays, I had Philly looking fastball. I mean, they were sitting on the fastball. So if I mixed in something off speed or a change up, I feel like right there you had a chance. And look, clock, all those things, field position, you were in a place where you still had the entire playbook at your disposal. So it felt a little bit rushed and anxious more than it felt aggressive to me. At that point, I'm in agreement with you, though. I think you can talk about the play call. You can talk about Trevor. D'Ernest not entirely doing his job. And you know what else? N'Kobe Dean made a hell of a play.
Yeah, N'Kobe Dean's very freaking good. He's he's a very talented player. And you know, you tested him. You said, let's see what he's got. And you did not
FAFO. F-A-F-O. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't know what would have succeeded instead. So I'm not trying to, clearly should have done something else, but it was just a failure on all three parts, really all three people that were involved in that play. And that's kind of something that every time that the Jaguars have lost games this season, it feels like there's a play like that where they just get it wrong in pretty much every way. We press on, I guess.
I see what nice you did pun. There.
Yeah, nice.
You come out of that loss, and you got the Vikings coming up this weekend, this Sunday in Duval, but you also had a little thing known as the trade deadline sandwiched sort of between it all. Jags, not real participants in the final days and hours, but as we saw, Jags certainly made some changes to this roster in the lead up to the deadline, whether it was Roy Robertson-Harris or Cam Robinson, who, by the way, is going to be back in Duval this Sunday with the Minnesota Vikings.
Coming off a game ball winning performance
with
the Vikings in his first appearance. I will say they were kind of glazing him on the NBC broadcast. He didn't really have a whole lot to do. No disrespect to the Colts defensive line is good, but it's pretty interior focused. It's not the edge guys that are really causing all those issues, but still he played well. And it's going to be hilarious to watch him eat up Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines Allen on Sunday. The trade deadline was quiet as expected, partially because the Jaguars' probably top pieces that they could have gotten something for were not in the equation. Christian Kirk, injured, out for the year. That was a guy that had a lot of rumors coming in. That was thought to be a guy that could get dealt. And then Travis Etienne, if he had had a 100-yard, 2-touchdown game against the Eagles or something like that, I wouldn't have been surprised if he got dealt. But instead, he looked about as bad as he's ever looked.
After that, what could you get for him? I know teams look at it differently. They think of it in terms of, but wait till he gets with us. Fresh start, new scenery, change of scenery, all those things. That's literally the way teams think. It's about talent and potential and upside in a particular situation. So maybe that's part of it. But I think Travis also has another year on his deal.
Yeah, they have the option.
So really the motivation for the Jags, right, to move on from Travis probably isn't quite there as much as you might think either.
Well, that, and then also it's like, you know, the timing of the market and stuff, like you were saying, it was like, what are you going to get for him? You know, if he is able, if their long-term plan is to trade him, let's say next offseason, you at least have some games this year in which he could maybe look like the player he was the level he was performing at last year. And maybe you get something better than a sixth or seventh round pick, because really, yeah. I mean, they didn't, was not a seller's market really in any way in terms of running backs.
And the running back value is what it is. Like the wide receiver value has skyrocketed because we saw guys in the last couple of days. I mean, you were looking at worst a fifth round pick for a decent wide receiver, not even really
Jonathan Mingo is one of the worst, like statistically, one of the worst NFL receivers.
And went for fourth, right?
Or I think it was fourth or a fifth. And that's more than, that being said, the Chiefs paid a sixth to get DeAndre Hopkins. So
it's like,
whatever, but
what, how is this happening? Time,
Jerry Jones,
time
art of the
time.
Deal, art of the deal. You guys don't
book.
Know.
Read my book.
Give me a second. And DeAndre Hopkins is balling with the Chiefs already. So
right. No surprise there. I mean, what did you think was going to happen with the Chiefs? A veteran, you know, capable, still got some tread on those tires, wide receiver like D-Hop to go along with that quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, come on.
The Chiefs are the parallel opposite of the Jaguars because they continue to look like a 5-3 team, but they win every close game because they're built like that and they know how to win games. Whereas the Jaguars don't know how to win them. I was thinking about that while watching the Chiefs earlier this week. I was like, it is insane that there is like a parallel there where it's like, if you have a culture, if you have a setup, if you have guys that are prepared for that, that you'll win these games when you're not playing well. Patrick Mahomes has not played, you know, that
well.
Look at his
stat line for this season.
Yeah.
You know, but guess what? When Mahomes got the ball to start overtime against the Bucks a couple nights ago, what was it? 7 plays, 70 yards, and he didn't throw an incompletion. I'll take that guy. Thanks. Yeah. You can have stat line guy.
And you know, people like to you know, a lot of the Chiefs are now becoming the Patriots of this decade, you know, because everyone
tolerate the regular season. They tolerate it. They're just trying to get to January, and they don't really even care if they're the one seed or 7 or 8, you know,
now,
they still feel like.
Besides the general things that Mahomes, sorry to the final point, going back to Trevor and stuff. We've said this before about his, like, just does he inspire? That's the thing about Mahomes, is that even if he's not playing at his best, you know damn well that he's going to try for every yard and he's going to do whatever he can.
Compete his ass off.
And with Trevor, it
resonates.
It doesn't seem like Trevor doesn't care. I think Trevor definitely cares, but it seems like he's timid. Timid is the word I would use. He doesn't have that innate, just like dog.
Well, and you worry about him too, because now last year, the injuries cropped up about this time. Right.
And now it's happening.
Here they are again. And with that, we segue into the Vikings matchup on Sunday at Everbank and what could be a start for Mac Jones. We don't know that. It is midweek. We'll see how the rest of the practice week goes. It's interesting because a year ago when Trevor got beat up and banged up and injured, he was literally not practicing much, if at all, during the week. Maybe Friday he would practice a little bit and then play on Sunday. That did not go exceptionally well, as we know now. And that was for a team that was in a good spot at the time of his injuries, you know, with the playoffs out there potentially. At 2-7, Evan, do you – You try to protect him because he's your investment now, right? I mean, he's here at 2-7. Do you take more of that approach, or is it important intangibly because there's still that C on his jersey, right? He's still a captain, and you just talked about sort of the message that gets sent maybe to the rest of the team. How important is it if he can go even at 2-7 from the team dynamic aspect that we see him out there Sunday?
You know, I don't think this team cares at this point. That sounds terrible.
Not a big deal. These are pros, right? I mean, this isn't college.
We were, yeah, exactly. And I also think that this team knows where this front office and stuff is kind of heading, that, you know, more than likely just about, at least the coaching staff is about to get fired. We did wonder about if the Jags were just going to quit every week after, especially after that Bills game, where it was clear that they just kind of showed up there with like no real desire to stand up and fight or whatever. But, you know, with Trevor, I think you make the business decision. If he has any form of, if he's at 80%, don't play him. Like, yeah. I don't care if he wants to go, don't play him, sit him. If he gets a very serious injury and then he misses all of the next offseason, I'm not even talking about missing games next year. I'm talking about he doesn't get back until the middle of training camp or something like that.
Yeah.
That's no good.
He's not at a point where, I think your point being partially at least, he still needs the offseason. He still needs the time to develop. This isn't a guy like Aaron Rodgers that can just show up in mid-August and say, okay, good to go, let's jump back in there. He still has, and especially if there is a change in regime, he needs to develop under the tutelage of whoever, whether it's Doug or anybody else, but especially if there is a shift, he needs the time. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's imperative that whatever coaching staff comes in is able to work with him in a complete sense from May to September. You know, I think that matters a lot. I personally, if he's saying anything about discomfort or whatever, because also with injuries, it doesn't work just like, oh, well, his shoulder's injured, that means he's going to injure it further. When you are not able to throw the ball exactly like you want to, when your process is disrupted, that is how you, you know, accidentally take a sidestep and tear your ACL and stuff like that too. So I'm just,
you can't protect yourself, you know, that's a big part of it. If you can't protect yourself, and usually I think a lower extremity, when I think can't protect yourself because you're not agile or mobile enough to get out of harm's way, but certainly the upper extremities can play in that as well. Now, sounds like he was x-rayed in game in Philly and it came back negative. But to your point, they're really at this point, and I think the rest of the guys get it, isn't a need to hurry him or force him sort of back out there. This isn't last year's scenario in any form or fashion. So protect the investment. And also it could be for Mac Jones a really important start for him. Yeah. Thinking about 2025 and potential suitors and where he could land next.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a if there's ever a prove it game for Mac Jones, this is a very tough Vikings defense. It's very good. You know, if you can go out there and have a pretty solid performance, you might be setting up a return to starting next year for the right team, whether that's something like, you know, the Panthers or if it's, you know, whatever. But no, it's a big game for Mac Jones. And, you know, one other thing I did just think about with, you know, how is the locker room or the, you know, the vibe, if Trevor sits, you know, they just saw another captain or at least was a former captain, Cam Robinson did not play a week ago because he was like, oh, if I'm about to get, no, I'm not playing. Are you kidding me?
And give me that baseball cap.
See, yeah, I'll and they went here. Out there and played a pretty tough game against the Packers. So I think, you know, that I'm not worried about really other players in this situation. I think at the end of the day, you have to play it safe. There's nothing to be gained. If he goes out there and even if he wins, but he got more injured in the process, then awesome. You won your third game of the season in a, you know, non-conference, you know, kind of whatever game. Yeah. So I'm pretty hard set on Trevor sitting if it comes down to it. You know, if he feels fine.
Does it? Let me ask you this, though. If he doesn't go and Matt goes, does it change your expectations for the offense all that much at this point? Because we've seen him stink with Trevor.
Yeah.
I mean, can they be any worse with Mac Jones, especially in the first half? than they've been with Trevor of late in the first half.
No, I think what'll be interesting to what I'll actually be paying attention to is not how the is not necessarily how the offensive execution from the players is, but I want to see how Doug and Press approach that. Are they going to run the ball kind of more like we'd prefer them to, or is it going to continue to be basically the Trevor offense just plugging and playing Mac Jones instead?
You want to help Mac, and this is all hypothetical because we don't know. It's Wednesday again. Maybe Trevor goes, but regardless of whether or not it's Trevor or Mac, I think either one of those quarterbacks would appreciate some tempo, because we saw last week what it did for the Jaguars offense. Once they picked up the pace, seemed to free up Trevor in a lot of ways. Trevor, to me, is at his best when he can just play. And there's, you know, he needs that sort of built-in push or energy, it seems like. And tempo seemed to give the Jaguar offense that. And whether, again, it's Mac or Trevor, there's a lot of folks clamoring, Evan, for more of that.
Well, I totally get it. And I think I am too, because, you know, not to continue to, you know, go off about Mahomes and the Chiefs again, but whenever you see Mahomes doing this and everyone's like, what is he doing? He's not saying hurry up necessarily. He's saying, let's call play with about 15 to 20 seconds on the play clock.
We're not huddling. And we're going to get up to the line.
Yeah. And then all that kind of weird stuff that they do, those shovel passes and whatever they're catching, it's not like they're running up to the ball so fast and just, it's not like a complete hurry up. You know, we have a minute on the clock type thing. It's something a little different where you don't get the defense much time to adjust, and you're able to kind of catch them off guard a little bit more, just a split second. And that's where those bubble screens, those shovel passes, the little dink and dunk gadget stuff that the Jags clearly want to do, that's where it works. But instead, whether it's Trevor not being able to kind of get things set, or if it's the approach of the offensive minds on the sideline, you know, you when you call that kind of stuff and there's 5 seconds on the play clock, it's like, okay, well, the defense is set. Like, there's no worry there. So, yeah, I would love to see a bit faster of an approach. Do I think we will see that? I don't believe so. I just don't think that there's confidence.
It's not in the Doug DNA either.
Yeah, it's not. And
that,
you
talked about scripting earlier, and you know, traditional pro style coaches, they like to huddle and kind of carry it out methodically, than maybe going a little tempo. Maybe the Jags will do that this week, because I don't care what they do. You got to have more than like 30 yards and a half. Yeah. If you really want to compete against playoff caliber teams, which they continue to see now on a weekly basis, and they're going to see it again this weekend with the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, Sam Darnold on the other side. You know, Sam Darnold's another one of these quarterbacks kind of in this reclass, I call it, of NFL quarterbacks. Came into the league, big expectations. Seems like for more than a few of them, the New York Jets are kind of the common denominator before they move on to better and greener pastures and they begin to thrive. But Darnold's not perfect. He wasn't last week. But
no, he played probably his worst game in a
But he's good enough against this defense right now with those receivers. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because it's the same approach, I would say, against the Vikings as it was against the Eagles, where you can't let Aaron Jones is a mean dude.
He's still got that juice, too.
Dude, he's awesome. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL.
He's excited, too, because he's seen Josh Jacobs. He's seen Saquon.
Yeah, he's seen him tear it up. Yeah. He's singing 2 touchdowns, 100 yards. You have to do everything in your power to prevent him Cam Akers, right? Yeah, from getting going. You have to do that, and you have to let Darnold make mistakes like he did last week. That's the only way you win this game. But as we saw last week, we thought that maybe the run defense could be a plus, and it wasn't. So
yeah,
who knows? I'm thinking like a 2-score Vikings win. To be honest, I think the Jags probably are in the game in the third quarter, but I think the Vikings kind of break away in that second half, put the game away. At least we will look good in our white helmets.
Will we, though? You're excited.
I am. I like the promo photos. I like the look of it. seeing it at 12 p.m. in Jacksonville, Florida, with the sun shining, that will tell us a lot if it, they actually look good.
I think it's going to look a little UCF-ish.
Well, but shoot, we play like
at this point. So. At this point, though, I mean, you gotta. You don't have to, but it's. I think it's something that is well done by teams because they're not anticipating being 2-7. But if you are 2-7, at least you're going to have an alternative helmet for this home game, right?
We're going to start a new undefeated streak. We're gonna go 1-0 with the white helmets, and then we'll. You know, we'll continue to go back like that blackout era for Georgia. Although they did lose a lot of games with the black jerseys, but
they lost one we were at back in 2008. Pretty big.
Still one of the best games I've ever been to. Maybe
the blackout.
That was the most fun I've ever had in the first half of any football
game. Matthew Stafford, man. That's what's crazy. You think about that game, Alabama, Georgia, 2008.
AJ Green, Matthew Stafford.
No Sean Marino. Hey, come on.
Defense had a lot of names on it, too. Now, that and, you know, I'll be trying to channel that energy when Alabama plays LSU on the road.
Saturday night.
It's going to be a tough one. But
Saturday night in Death Valley. You've been there, too.
I've seen some pretty amazing away trips. I'm very fortunate.
We were on the top of that thing 2014.
We watched just about every Alabama game. Fan around us dip before they won the game.
They did dip.
But
Blake Sims.
Sims, man. Alabama legend. I miss him.
DeAndre White in the corner there.
Oh, dude. Take me back. Take me back. But to Green, you know, that we'll get there one day. But in the meantime, I guess I'm gonna start doing draft prep for the Jags.
Picking second right now, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I was gonna say, are you a Travis Hunter guy?
Travis Hunter, but I don't think they need him. I wish it was the offensive tackle class from last year.
Yeah.
Because I think they still need one. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Walker Little is going to show me more in these last six, seven games.
He
was okay. I mean, Josh Sweat
kind of
derped him on.
Josh Sweat is good, though. He is.
I mean, I would love to see Walker Little prove to be it. Right. And then if I want to go Travis Hunter, because he's kind of a luxury to me. I don't see him as a two-way player in the NFL. So you got to make a decision. Maybe situationally you can do some things with him. More so because of his health. I don't think he can hold up in the NFL trying to do both. I love him. But, yeah, I mean, other than that,
if the Jags did take him, what side would you want him to play? Because they need wide receiver help and corner help. So which side do you want him on?
The way the game is set up now, I play him on offense.
Yeah.
Because it's set up for you to win on offense.
Right.
You can be a great corner, but it's the rules and the way the game is now, it's stacked against you. But they definitely need corner help. So,
might be a trade back year, but just like when the
Jags. I'd love to see him paired with Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty
cool. Just like when the Jags had the first overall pick last time, it's a trade back year, but there's not a whole lot to trade up for. So good luck.
You're not going to find suitors. You need to stand on it and make a very conscientious pick. Is my only thought on that right now.
All right. Well, we're
I think we're good, Ev. It's a lot of fun as always. Even though it's more commiserating than it is exhilarating. We'll do it again next week, man. We'll see what the Jags have. I have the Jags losing along the lines of what we've seen of late, anywhere from 3-7, something like that. Yeah. I think it's going to be another one of those in Duval.
Can't wait. Noon or 1 p.m. for your end,
noon sense. Yeah. We'll do it again next week. It was fun.
Sounds good.
All right, Ev. For Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for tuning in to No Sleep Till right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to our channel here, hit that subscribe button right now. That would help us out. There's a notification bell that you can ding right now as well. That will alert you to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a thumbs up right there. A like would help us out tremendously too. For Ev, Trav, till next time. So long, everybody.